Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I'm Don Allen over here in Studio A, and Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing on this beautiful day?
Man, real good. Mr. Allen, things are sweeping all across the country and the world, but it was a beautiful day in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, if you will. Felt like I was in Shangri-La, if you know what I mean. So, Don, we look like we got a lot going again, as usual. Reports coming out, if you will. Big conference here, big conference on youth and violence and et cetera at the Marriott in downtown Minneapolis. Looks like upwards of 250 participants from all around the United States, including about five or six mayors. Mayors here out of Alabama and Virginia, apparently Missouri and et cetera. So city is fully engaged, Don. Things are really happening. And, of course, our phone lines will be open for the next hour to talk in terms of some of the things that are going on. Well, what do you have, my brother, that we need to open with?
A study came out today about Minnesota being the second worst behind Wisconsin for equity for people of color, black people.
Don, you must have misspoke. You mean Wisconsin is the second best?
It's the second worst. Matter of fact, this is this exclusive WCCO report.
A new report lists Minnesota among the worst states in America for racial inequality. The website 24/7 Wall Street listed Minnesota as the second most unequal state in the country behind Wisconsin. It measured gaps between blacks and white residents in areas like unemployment, income, and home ownership. New at 10, WCCO's Jeff Wagner learned what the numbers mean and how organizations are trying to bring balance to Minnesota.
Racial inequality is no secret in the United States. Earlier this month, the tension connected to it ignited in the streets of Charlottesville, Virginia.
We look at Charlottesville, and we look at the tiki torches burning there, but people don't realize we're being scorched every day here in America, especially here in Minnesota.
Minneapolis NAACP President Jason Soule feels his point is validated thanks to a recent study by 24/7 Wall Street, which labeled Minnesota as the second most racially unequal state in the country, right behind Wisconsin and just ahead of South Dakota, Illinois, and Iowa.
I'm from Chicago. I graduated in Waterloo, Iowa. I've been living in Minnesota the last 17 years. Every place I've lived, I felt this immense pressure.
The study found that black people in Minnesota are 10 times more likely to end up in jail or prison than white people. It also found the median income for a black household is just over $30,000, but a white household is double that number. Race relations experts feel those two statistics are directly connected.
If you do have employment, it pays a very low wage. You are a renter at best. And then if you are thoroughly outside of the labor market and participating in the underground economy, then you may end up in jail.
Sol says fixing the issues starts by holding government entities and law enforcement accountable. Mobilizing is the next step.
Use that report and analyze it critically. Let's talk about it with our families. What do these numbers represent?
That study also found that black people in Minnesota have a home ownership rate of 21%, but the number for white people is more than triple at 76%.
And Jeff, how about Minnesota's education system? How will that play into this?
You know, that's where we have that achievement gap that people know about in this state. The latest numbers from the Minnesota Department of Education found that in grades 3 through 8 and also 10th, the amount of white students who met the standard for reading and math was about double that of black students. So these disparities clearly are beginning at a young age.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Edwards, that was it. You know, people are always saying that, you know, we make up stuff, and, you know, I just went to WCCO, asked politely, and we have the exclusive report right there.
Well, let me say this, Mr. Allen, I concur for the purposes of continuity of information, you know what I'm saying, because you're certainly right. Now, this is the probably the top news listened to station in the state of Minnesota, WCCO Channel 4, which is owned, by the way, by CBS. And that is their station here in Minneapolis. Now, what my colleague, Mr. Allen, is saying is not necessarily shocking to me. And then I hear the NAACP president now giving confirmation to what the white institution, research institution, et cetera. But, Mr. Allen, over the last 5 years, we have talked about this numerous times, and just a couple of weeks ago, we were basically told by a group of individuals who called in and said that we were just nothing but negative. And a couple of years ago, we had one of the big leaders was indicating that we were Jekyll and Hyde and didn't know what we were talking about. Of course, I imagine that there it has been confirmed, if you will, because it was the white television station. By the way, the anchor and the reporter are both Caucasians, if you will, so, you know, we can't talk in terms of fake news, right?
No, not this time.
Don,
not
2 years
time,
ago,
anyway.
We did a piece on a similar survey done by the Washington Post. You remember that, Don?
Yep, right out of the public policy Institute out of Washington, D.C. It was produced by the Washington Post. Yep. I mean, it was published by the Washington Post. Yep, you're correct.
Yeah, and folks said that was negative and that we were just bringing bad information. The year before, we did a piece, actually, that came out of, if I'm not mistaken, the University of Illinois. Wow, well, hopefully, you know, open up the phone lines. Let's see if anyone has any solutions. To this gentleman, Mr. Soul, talking in terms that he went to school in Waterloo. I think he went to school in Chicago first before he moved to Waterloo. I think he went to East High School in Waterloo, Iowa, if you will, if I'm not mistaken, before he moved up here to Minnesota and, you know, had a rough period of time. But anyways, the fact of the matter is the WCCO, CBS affiliate here, went out and sought out the NAACP. So maybe we'll get a couple calls from some NAACP executive committee members indicating how this is being addressed. Because, oh, Lord have mercy, if I'm not mistaken, during the legislative session of 2016, didn't McKeever, Levy Founds, Mr. Soul, and others from the NAACP and the St. Paul NAACP and the Urban Leagues, well, they only have one, weren't they over at the state capitals saying that they had acquired $75 million in funding to correct this problem? Am I
yeah,
mistaken?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right on point there, Mr. Edwards. Juggernaut was they didn't have any control over the money. So they got $70 million and just $30 million a year, $35 million a year, something like that. And still to this day, Mr. Edwards, we've had plenty of shows about this. We don't know where the money is, who received the money other than Caucasian agencies, and how it's affecting people in our community. By the way, we do have a call, Mr. Edwards.
Let's get the call in. Now, the phone lines are open. Go ahead, Mr. Al.
Caller 0171, you're live on the air. What's your question?
Yes, I have a question. This is Mr. M.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. M?
Oh, Mr. M, how are you, sir? How are you doing? Thank you. Appreciate you calling in early so we get you in. But go ahead, sir. What's your question, sir?
I'm actually going out to a music function right now because, the events of what's going on right now, I've just basically had to tune out because, I mean, this thing, Nazis and Confederates, and, I mean, this stuff is over. I mean, their game is done. The Nazis been beat. The Confederates been beat. I don't know why this stuff continues to be in the news anymore. I mean, that's why I have not turned my TV on today at all. I don't want to see any more of these foolishness. I mean, that's just my opinion of it. You know, I got better things to do. I mean, we're in a new age. We're not going back to no slavery. We're not going back to Jim Crow. I'm not going to go nowhere where they're going to put a black on the, you know, you can't drink out of this fountain. You got to sit in the back of it. That's all over with. Okay, so there's no sense of even bringing this foolishness up. I'm not listening to it. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. We need to move ahead with life the way it is now. We need to get education. We need to make these lives better for everybody that's here. And we need to drop this foolishness. I mean,
we would concur, M, but the only problem is what we opened the program talking about was a study that indicated that Minnesota was the worst in the country for racial parity and et cetera. So, you know, there's nothing we can really do about that but appeal to the good consciousness of leadership in our state. You know, maybe the information is wrong. I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that the information is consistent with at least three other reports in the last couple of years. So something's going on here. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You're absolutely right, Mr. Edwards. And so, and to continue to tell me that we're being browbeat every day, tell me something I don't know. We know that. The problem is, what are we going to do about it? You know, don't just sit up here and tell me there's a problem and that we have all these disparities and we have what is going to be done about this? We already know this. Don't keep wasting time telling me what the problem is. Let's take some time to do something about the problem.
I agree, and I'm sure that my colleague, Mr. Allen, who's on the other end in the other studio, agrees. This is what we've been saying. We're waiting for the plan, if you will. There was a plan many years ago that was pretty effective in our community. We had businesses. We were generating independent revenue and et cetera. Some things happened, and all of a sudden we were told that, you know, we needed to embrace more integration. We did that. And now these reports and studies are coming out. The only thing that is climbing is the rate of incarceration of African Americans. It's the only thing that's climbing in this state.
Yeah, and you know, I just like this. Mr. M and Mr. Edwards, you know, I'd like to insert something in here. The way that we solve this, I was listening to something earlier today, and if you guys don't mind, you got a minute, M?
I got a minute.
Yeah, okay. He said he's on his way to a music concert. But go ahead, Don.
Okay, I'm
making
a quick
man.
If we want to take control of our community where we live, we have to take control of education.
All right, Mr. Allen, who was that? Because M said he was on his way to an event. Recording. Who was that?
That was the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, Minister Louis Farrakhan, speaking at a conference.
The Honorable Minister, okay. And I bet you that was probably way back in 1967 or 80, 1970 or something like that. Okay, so that's not new. You know, M and I are basically in the same age group, and I guess kind of what M is saying is that we've been listening to this stuff for so long that it begins to become nauseous, if you will. But you know, the system says that we don't know what we're talking about, M, and what has renewed this. And I was quoted in the paper last Saturday as saying that one of the reasons that we should all have been happy that that Chief Arredondo was in position to become the first African-American chief was unfortunately because of Charlottesville and this president and et cetera, who has really pulled the scab off of the existence of these right-wing groups and et cetera. But unlike you, Em, I'd like to see what the agenda is. I know there's a lot of money. Just before you called, Mr. Allen was pointing out that in the legislative session of 2016, it was reported that $75 million had been allocated towards the problems in the African-American community and et cetera. And, you know, we all been asking the question, how is it being spent? And, you know, when I see shootings downtown as we did last night, a block away from a big conference. Em, I don't know if you're aware of it, we have a big conference going on here. We have about 300 participants. We have a number of mayors from a number of cities, and basically the delegates or the participants are about 97% black, gentlemen. 97% black down there at the Marriott, if you will. And they're talking about crime in the streets and talking about how to deal with the violence and et cetera. And so I guess we'll have another mandate. Of course, this was put on by the office of Mayor Betsy Hodges. I guess that we'll have some solutions. But, Bill, you're absolutely on point. You know. And
hearing about that. You know, I haven't heard about this function that's going on, but see, this is par for the course. I mean, you can just give these Negroes a steak dinner, and they'll do anything. They'll turn cartwheels and all they just for a steak dinner. You know, we need to change what is going on. We need to show that we have a foothold in this town, and we have a right to have education. We have a right as taxpayers, you know, to get what we pay for. I mean, it's very simple. But maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one maybe I have these glasses on like people that was looking at the sun. Maybe I'm the only one that can see it. Maybe I have those, whatever those things, what was it? Looking at the sun. Everybody's looking up in the sky.
Yeah,
the sunspot,
actually. That's
eclipse.
What it is.
They're looking at the eclipse.
Yeah, the eclipse, yes. Yeah,
they
can
look at
the moon crossing in front of the sun. Yeah, it happens every. Last time it happened like this was, almost 800 years ago. But, you know, hey, what's
they can buy these Kinsent glasses that we used to buy at the Woolworths, and then all of a sudden when the event comes up, then the glasses cost $100, and when it's over, it's all over. I mean, we continue to fall for all these things, fall for these things that are not important. That's not important.
All right, Em, appreciate it, man. Enjoy your concert, brother. Enjoy your concert.
I will. I'll be getting back to you later.
All right. Take care. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, Mr. Allen, interesting observation by him. Again, these phone lines are open. Mr. Allen has acquired the report that indicates that we're just behind Wisconsin as the worst state in the United States. I would have thought this would have been Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina, somewhere like that. You know what I mean? Texas or somewhere like that. Isn't that a... Our beloved Minnesota and our good red neighbors to the east, Wisconsin. Wow, what a surprise. What else, Mr. Allen? Let's keep it going. Open those phone numbers. Give the number.
Sure. That phone number is 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. The lines are wide open.
And we're just looking. There's been some chatter on social media about the shootings that were downtown Minneapolis last week, the week before. And
oh, there's shooting last night. There's shooting last night. There's been a shooting
night,
every night. Yeah, for the last 12, 13 days. This ain't nothing new. But we were basically told two weeks ago that, we're spending too much time talking about those things. We need to be talking about all the positive things that are happening. And when we do that, then people get upset with us. I mean, a lot of money, man, has been directed since 2016 into our beloved community. $75 million. Isn't that what we told Mr. Alton?
Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Allegedly. I know we haven't seen it. But
I was in a meeting last night. Let me just say this. I was in a meeting last night with about 11, 12 black chefs, if you will, both men and women. And they put quite a spread out, if you will. And they're trying to get themselves positioned to get a piece of the Super Bowl action, if you will. In fact, they were working on their organizational name. These are folks that have, paid the price, if you will, learned the skill, the culinary skills and et cetera. And yet, one of the things that came up in the discussion with these black chefs was that we don't have a single one-star black restaurant in the state of Minnesota, man. I didn't know that, Don.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
I didn't know that either. Wow.
Yeah, we don't have anything. Now, the Hispanics, the Asians and them have all kinds of restaurants and et cetera. And these chefs pointed out that I'm talking about 1- and 2-star eateries, if you will. And if anybody can correct us, feel free to call in. Mr. Allen just gave the number. Phone lines are wide open. But what we've started out talking about as we move up to the 9 o'clock hour is that we are a terrible state for racial equity and diversity and et cetera. And that just can't be true, Mr. Allen, because we've had people tell us over the last couple of years that things are great.
Yeah, the things are beautiful. That, everything's good on the streets are great. People are working. They're getting 2,000 people jobs in the fall, 2,000 jobs and people in the spring. And I'm like, wow, if you've done that since 2008, unemployment should be zero.
And we should have all kinds of businesses, because one of the things that I've said on my television programs is that based on all the training and the money that's coming in, we should have at least, let me put it like, we should have at least 3 new car dealerships. We should have at least 4 to 6 3- to 4-star restaurants. And we should have at least 1 4-star hotel, just as we speak.
Yep.
Okay. Those are the kind of things that that brings money into your town when you have a big event like the Super Bowl in February of 2018. Now, do we have that, Mr. Allen? I see you're checking your computer there.
Oh, no.
Didn't we used to have a Black Business Enterprise book that used to be printed by the Black Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, the Black Chamber of Commerce did something, but they fell off. You don't even hear from them unless they're doing their little bougie little dinner or get-together. It seems like when they're having a party, then they get popular, and then people just kind of sneak away. Nothing happens afterwards.
Chamber of Commerce is not – because I would assume that somebody from the Black Chamber of Commerce would call in and put us right with regards to the statement about – what it is, unfortunately, we don't have. Now, I've had people suggesting to us over the last number of weeks that we should just do like the president and we should just make stuff up. Maybe we can identify, because both our Seven, our Monte Carlo, and J.D. Hoyts are Black-owned, aren't they? Aren't they Black-owned?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all, Mr. Edwards. Not at all. That's where we go.
Oh, come on, Don, they must be.
No, they are not. J.D. Hoyts, Monte Carlo, and Seven are not black owned. Never have been, never will be.
Well, then don't we own at least 4 or 5 of these Popeyes that have popped up after buying the property of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Aren't four or five of these Popeyes, aren't they black owned?
No, they are not, Mr. Ellis.
Oh, wow. Well, what about...
No, they are not.
Well, we had an event Saturday. They had an event. Unfortunately, there was a shooting, and somebody was wounded. By the way, our prayers go out to James Everett, whose sister was the person shot and wounded. But I had been told that there was that what was going to happen last Saturday was that there would be free food for the children and et cetera, and a big festival on the streets and et cetera. I'm now being told that wasn't true, that the money that allegedly had been set aside for that festival on West Broadway on this past Saturday, that none of that money was used to do anything except maybe pay for the rap band. That couldn't be true, could it, Mr. Allen? I mean, we're not operating
that.
Like that in our community. Go ahead.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that, Mr. Edwards. I've heard some rumors about that, none substantiated, but I have had some people call me and write me behind the scenes saying that, hey, you know, that little event in North Minneapolis wasn't about nothing. Wasn't no money put into it. So, yeah, you're absolutely correct from what I understand, I've been hearing.
See, I saw newspaper articles, and in fact, we had somebody on from one of the agencies that was telling us that they were the fiduciary agents for $145,000 that had been granted to North Minneapolis and the West Broadway Business Association and et cetera. You mean them black folks was out there and they didn't get no free meals or nothing?
No, they didn't get any free meals. I guess they was running for their lives a little bit during that event. So,
yes. It was, even though only one shot was fired, man, you had all those folks out there and the children, babies. They were listening to the rappers, if you will. They had the bandstand set up right there in the middle of, in fact, did you know that they had the bandstand right there at the front door in that the report that you have shared with our listening audience? The Board of Education, that beautiful building there, it wasn't open any black labor. There wasn't any black folks who worked on construction of that building. But anyways, we can dream. The bandstand was right there in front of the front door of the Board of Education when gunfire broke out. Yeah, and so I'm wondering. Yeah, do we have a call?
Yeah. Oh, no. I just was saying, oh, my goodness. That's not good. That's not good at all. And, you know, people wonder why. Remember when we had a caller a couple of weeks talk about, come over north. Come on, see what I do. Come over here. People aren't coming over there. I mean, the private sector has abandoned North Minneapolis, basically, you know, as far as General Mills, 3M, Medtronics, and all the big shots.
The PB company, most of the foundations, per se. No, you're right.
Yep.
But we are told that that's a negative, and we shouldn't be talking about it. That's why I said it was very interesting to listen to the black chefs last night in a meeting at a specific location in the Twin Cities. They're really trying to put something together so that they can get some kind of package as we move into the Super Bowl. You know, they could have arrangements made, let's say have a culinary banquet at one of the top pro hotels. Maybe the Marriott. They're where the gentleman was shot and wounded yesterday at 7 p.m. Waiting on the bus as he was on his way home to his family. Just around the corner was the big meeting and festival that was going on dealing with. I am told that basically what the mayor's office has said and her staff people have said, crime has been put in check. Crime problem is in check. Now, you said earlier that people had said to you that we've had all kinds of shootings, which we have, okay? In fact, CCO opened up its news program at 5 with our good friend, the black reporter there, and they had my good friend Steve Kramer of the Downtown Council and that group, man, he was livid. I thought his veins were going to pop out of his head. They are so bad about the crime problem in downtown Minneapolis. Now, folks, let me ask this question. Didn't the mayor and them give, again, one of our nonprofits, what was it, $140,000?
It was $250,000.
At the beginning of the spring? Huh?
Yeah, I think it was $250,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God. And that was to deal with the problems in downtown, okay? And the shooting last night at 7 p.m. right there at 6th and Hennepin, by the way, for our international and domestic audiences, et cetera, that's considered the heart of Minneapolis, if you will, that particular area. That was supposed to be the time that our good friend, who used to call quite a bit and talk in terms of Jekyll and Hyde, that's when he said he had his organization, his young men from his training school were on the streets. They were still on the streets. So I don't know where they were at when the gunfire broke out. But, I mean, am I correct or is this some fake news?
You're absolutely correct. And I think when the gunfire broke out, they were having chicken wings because there was no one in sight. From what I understand,
the people's stadium wasn't open, but they were having chicken wings. I think you may be right. That's the reason we didn't have anybody down there. So $250,000, in which, if I'm not mistaken, $230,000 was given back to the city. I can't keep up with this. Jim was probably correct on his way to a music gathering. That hell, we can't even keep up. I'm surprised we don't have any calls. Tom, you sure that you're not blocking the calls or et cetera? I mean, there's
no, but the phone lines are wide open. 347-426-3904, and you can call in. You and I are on the air here, Mr. Edwards. There's tons of people in the chat room listening. I'm getting comments on Facebook. We have a gentleman in Boston who chimed in and said that Popeyes in Boston is black-owned. And he kind of chuckled, a little smiley face. But there's not one here, you know, in Minnesota owned by anybody of color, basically. But you sure see the blacks and Hispanics running that kitchen. So,
oh, man, yeah. I had a friend of mine that was in Florida last year, and he was talking in terms of the same thing that's happened in Florida. You know, really, the black folk don't own as much as they should. But when you go in these big hotels and et cetera, you're back there in that kitchen, you know, rolling out that food, and Latino, Hispanics, and the blacks, you know what I mean, got us back there cooking in that kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, you know, for any listeners we have, any people texting you from around the country, around the world, and et cetera, unfortunately, we just don't have an economic base here for the African-American community. And yet, as a historian, certified as such, if you will, I can remember that we had more businesses owned and operated by African-Americans, or Negroes, as we referred to in those days, in 1935 and 36, and again in, you know, 1948 and 49, you know what I mean, businesses than we do today. You know, we had cab companies.
Exactly.
And of course, we don't own any cab companies. And basically, it's kind of tough for an American black to get a job driving a cab here. But anyways, we don't want to talk about that. People would us and et cetera. But we just, man, we had more businesses. In fact, one of the largest employers in the 1920s and 30s here in our beloved Minneapolis was a laundry company, and that's when, you know, laundry was really big business. It had over 200 employees, all African Americans, if you will. Later became Gross Brothers Chronics, G&K. You know G&K, right? You've seen it, heard it enough.
Yes, yeah.
Over the years,
mm-hmm.
Don. A lot of people don't know that G&K merged with the African American Red Brothers Cleaner in the city of Minneapolis. We don't even have that, man. We ain't got nothing. Population has grown by 50%, if not more.
Oh yeah, easily.
Yeah, I don't know. What else did the report say? Maybe we'll get someone's interest there as they talked about the disparity. Oh, I hate to use that word because that's so negative, but unfortunately the disparity here in Minnesota. What else did it say, Mr. Allen?
I'm heading over to the report now. I have it here on my other computer. I'm getting ready to go and pull it up here. Here we go. The report. They also quote Professor Keith Mays from the University of Minnesota. It's coming up slowly here.
Have we been on the airwaves with him, with the good doctor?
Yes, we have. He's been on the air with us.
Yeah, I mean, a number of years ago, we were on a commercial station, KFAI, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we were on KFAI. Let me turn this off, and let's go down here and say, he says, there's a racial equality, inequality is no secret in the United States, but let me get down here. Let me get to some home ownership rate for black people is 21%, but the number more than triples to white people at 76%. And, yeah, it's really going, just 1 second here, Mr. Edwards. I think we have a caller.
Okay, let's get them in, and then I know you take care of maybe a couple. Who do we have? See if they're ready to come on. Have any questions for Don and Ron?
Okay, Mr. Everest, they want to stay in the queue and just listen. Okay, I didn't have to go off.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's why I needed to.
Right.
Yeah, when the numbers
pop up,
I'm on top of them. I try to get them in. I try to get them in right away,
they just
want to listen.
Certainly.
So.
Because this is the Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, across the world and across the nation. By the way, let's just kind of shift to the military thing. I see the fleet commander of the 7th Fleet in the war zone. You know, we were really all pumped up as Americans that we were getting ready to go in and kill us some more yellow people in North Korea. And then these Americans... You know, you were an Army guy, and I know you were in the Army, so I know how you know, as much you guys, but I'm a historian, military history historian. What the heck is it with these state-of-the-art both destroyers and light cruisers running into other ships and sinking almost to death? What the heck is going on?
Mr. Edwards, we talked about this about 8 years ago. You hear a report of a helicopter going down, well, let me start like this. If you hear a report of a helicopter going down in the desert because of a sandstorm, that's usually not the case. Okay. You hear of a ship with the tactical capability to see someone coming 500 to 1,000 miles away, okay, and that can also eliminate that threat 500 miles away. And you crash into someone, something else other than what we're being told has happened. And that's not a conspiracy theory, that's fact.
Well, let me tell you what the Navy Chief of Operations, who is, of course, a fleet rank admiral, said yesterday, which was kind of puzzling because I remember just about 4 months ago how all the experts on all of the TV programs talking about how the North Korean missiles were being hacked into and the reason that they weren't getting off the pad and weren't flying or they were exploding, et cetera. Of course, we have no confirmation of that. All we have is what we're being told, except, you know, other sources, which I can't go into. But all of a sudden, the Naval Chief of Operations, the guy who, you know, sees over the whole operation of America's great fleet, indicated the possibility of hacking into the navigation system of these state-of-the-art of surface warships. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. Now, who's hacking into, because these ships are state-of-the-art, as we just said, and that means that there are all kinds of, and I have to use the military term, Mr. Allen, stick with me. These ships have all kinds of countermeasures, right? And that's what countermeasures is all about, including dealing with hacking and a sucker. So who in the heck has been hacking into the navigation systems of these state-of-the-art? These are not 50-year-old, 40-year-old destroyers and cruisers. And I mean, these are state-of-the-art. In fact, I find it very interesting, because a lot of people didn't know this, by the way, that both the grandfather and the father of, Senator John McCain of Arizona, decorated naval aircraft fighter pilot, etc., who's being now criticized by the President of the United States as John McCain fights cancer. That John McCain, that ship, the last one that got ran over by one of those big Liberian, actually, well Liberian registration, though that ship was named for both his father and his grandfather.
Oh, wow.
They were both admirals in the United States Navy. John McCain, Republican from Arizona, a true American patriot, if you will. But I'm just trying to figure out, I text you to, you know, just check what the latest information is, because, as I said earlier, the commander of the 7th Fleet has been removed. Now, that's, you know, that's really, that's really embarrassing, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just not understanding. American ships running aground, American ships running into big tankers, if you will, and et cetera. Well, what the heck is happening, man? We're supposed to be military ready. Is that correct, Mr. Allen? Because you've oftentimes educated me on that. The former, a soldier, if you will, in the United States Army, and sometimes maybe Mr. Allen get into what it was like when he was there and what I was aware of when I was a very, very, very young man. And, you know, Mr. Allen maintains that this is a more modern army and et cetera. And since Mr. Allen's been gone from the service, it's even more modern. And so I just can't understand, Don, how these state-of-the-art surface craft, destroyers, missile destroyers, and missile-like cruisers, why do they keep running into things? I'm not understanding. What the heck is going on here?
I don't understand that at all, because I don't believe that. Well, here's what I do know. I know that these ships and these airplanes and these different things have their internal servers that have their own internet, own communication array, and if they were hacked, they were hacked by someone on the ship. Okay, it wasn't no Russian. Was no black people, okay? And black people, we don't make ships either. So with that said, I'm looking at it like, okay, wait a minute. Now, the helicopter lies went on for many years in the desert, and so now you get a substandard ship in the middle of a sea crashing into a Mercedes-Benz with alert systems everywhere, you got 10 sailors killed. Now, what's really going on? You know, how come you didn't see that coming? You know, why didn't you destroy the threat, you know, 10, 20 miles where it got to you? You know, there's too many variables to even consider that.
Well, but see, this was
not
even a threat. These were ships going into the harbor of Singapore, which is there in Malaysia, which is in Southeast Asia, for those that, you know, don't read their maps. I looked at the illustrations that were shown on a couple of the television channels, and when you talk in terms of how in this latest situation, the McCain, the John McCain, was broadsided, if you will. I mean, I just don't understand. If you've got some people posted on the bridge, whoops, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about, for those that don't understand the slogans and et cetera, is that you're talking about on that part of the ship, which has observations of the entire area, all areas surrounding the ship, all sea lanes and et cetera. And just can you envision, man, a 500-ton or whatever, you know, a freighter, and these freighters are massive. Can you just imagine one of them coming for you, and at some point in a two-minute to three-minute period of time, you don't happen to look starboard or whatever, and is coming down on you. I don't understand what the heck is happening. We were supposed to be in that area, the area of the 7th Fleet. We were supposed to be battle ready and battle tested.
If you look,
you know, maybe the North Koreans did us a favor. Oops.
Yeah, oops. If you look at let me turn this video off here. If you look at the picture of the collision, this wasn't a bump, Mr. Edwards. This was not a bump. This ship had to be going 10, 20, 30 knots if it could do that in the water.
Yeah.
Okay, because this bent the framework of the USS John S. McCain. It slammed into it pretty hard. And so I'm looking at the ship.
And you're right. It had to be, even though it was in the lanes of leading into the harbor of Singapore, you had to figure that it was probably going certainly at 8 to 12 knots, if you will. And so that means approaching, be it in daylight or at night, because one of the things, you know, we've been talking that since the days of the pirates, you know, back in the 1700s of the United States Navy. That's why you have lookouts. Don't they call them lookouts? Posted?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I mean, we've got about 15 minutes left. Well, you know, the phone lines are open all the way. Folks don't even want to talk about the readiness of our armed forces, man.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Let me ask this question again, in case we have a caller holding and we don't want to block anybody, because we've got an update on what is a kind of a bad situation as it pertains to diversity in our beloved city of Minneapolis, St. Paul, particularly with the big conference going on down there. And they tell me, man, they are packed in down there. They're partying at both the Marriott and the Radisson Hotel, which are right across the street from each other here in our beloved city. But, Mr. We have a problem with finding qualified protected class people, primarily, let's take them in the back order of how they are not being recruited for our police department. Native American, okay, blacks, Asian, and Latino, Hispanics, and, of course, whites. Trying to keep it quiet, because you know one of the things that happened is that the numbers that the Human Resources Department has been giving out to city officials are bogus.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. Numbers are bogus. Anyone have a question for us? Feel free to dial in. You got the number and asked us to clarify, to defend our position, because, you know, like you said earlier, folks say we just making stuff up, right?
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And in fact, we
also
1% of our African American officers last year. Ain't that something? Nobody ever said anything.
Not a word. Not a word at all. And Ms. Harris, I'm looking at the Star Tribune, and people are starting to get pretty pissed off at this mayor and this city council. It says Minneapolis leaders eye vacant parcel for a new Somali mall on 26th and Minnehaha Avenue. Now I look down at the comments. And one guy said, when are we going to take care of the Swiss? and another one here said, how would any other business do this? Would Minneapolis do this for Irish immigrants?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and they're kind of snapping. They're kind of snapping on the city council, because it does seem like, I don't know, I think the DFL and some of the elected DFL officials are pandering to the Somali community, you know, and I don't really know if that's a smart thing to do. I mean, because there are black people here that vote, but they fail so many times with the black people. Are they trying to fail that many times with the Somali community? I mean, I don't understand. Why are you pandering to one group of dark-skinned people?
No, because on the other side, the Asians have done real well, man, since they came here 15, 16 years ago from the refugee camps in Cambodia and Laos and Vietnam, if you will. They've done real good. Now, like I said earlier, I mean, I see so many Asian types of restaurants, which then include Laotians, the Cambodians, if you will, Vietnamese, Hmong, and et cetera. I mean, they do very, very well, man. They've got so many places. The Hispanics have come in. They control Lake Street. From one end of Lake Street, which is about 10 miles, they control that thoroughfare there with many, many restaurants, businesses, and et cetera. As you said earlier in this program, it looks like the people that are always at the bottom end, because even the Native Americans, through their relationship with the casinos, And we have one of the most lucrative casinos just south of us here in the city of Minneapolis called Mystic Lake. The Minnewaukan tribe has done a tremendous job over the last 30 years. And in fact, they're making so much money that the closest town to them that is off the reservation is a white community called Prior Lake. And just a year or so ago, the Minnewaukan tribe bought the Prior Lake Fire Department a couple new fire trucks. Wasn't that red of them?
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah. They you know, I mean, the Minnewaukan, the Mystic Lake crowd, I mean, make money over making, you know, profit. The other Native American, the Little Earth, Red Lake, and the Fond du Lac, which is located right there in downtown, have provided monies to the public schools and et cetera in the towns outside of the reservation and et cetera. And lo and behold, we just, as I said before, we don't even have a one-star restaurant.
I just don't
understand it. I just don't know what to say. You know, I would think that people would be concerned. Because I keep thinking about that $35 million last year, right? And the other $35 million, which is coming now, because the state fiscal year, has just started as of July 1st. So we should be in pretty good shape in the African-American community.
Yeah, we should be, but, you know, we're not.
I mean, really, I think, go ahead.
Yeah, someone's trying to call in. They're asking for the number. So I did post that number, 347-426-3904, and we'll be done tonight at 9:30. So call in quick. That's 347-426-3904. Let's see if they call in, Mr. Everett. So go ahead.
We've got 8 minutes left. Feel free to give us a call. Feel free to question us, to vet us, if you will. This is the Don and Ron program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul to our international and domestic audiences and et cetera. By the way, we're still feeling the effects of Charlottesville, if you will. 40,000 march against racism, neo-Nazism, et cetera, in Boston, Massachusetts, if you will. You know, by the way, man, you think the president and the speaker of the Senate, the majority leader, as they call him, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, you think those guys will reconcile their differences? Do you believe that they have not spoken a word to each other in 2 weeks? I guess they had a knockdown drag out over the phone. You know, President cursed out to Mitch McConnell, and Mitch McConnell, by the way, Mitch McConnell's wife is a member of Donald Trump's cabinet.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wow.
Yeah, people have tried to keep that quiet. I always wondered why we didn't hear more about that, but I guess given some of the names that the president called the majority leader of the United States Senate, I know that Mitch McConnell's wife is having a hard time staying at her post as a member of Mr. Trump's cabinet, if you will. But the president said in Reno, Nevada today to the convention of the veterans, if you will, or the American Legion, really, that we need to have harmony, racial harmony, and et cetera. Do you think that's down the line for us, Tom?
Yeah, well, at some point, maybe. I mean, not right away. It's they'll be kind of strange. Hey, Mr. Edwards, the State Fair starts up tomorrow. That great Minnesota get together.
Man, that State Fair is a profit for. Well, I almost made a mistake and said it's a profit also for all Minnesotans. But just talking in terms of opportunity and that report that you have and that. Your aide brought over to me in the studio here. We don't have a single. Do we have a black business on the grounds of the Minnesota State Fair?
I think there are some shirt salesmen that sell shirts, these custom designed T-shirts. I think it doesn't go any further than that from what I saw last year, and last year was all over the fair.
looking for those opportunities. And, you know, we had the Jamar Clark shooting, so there was people out selling Jamar Clark shirts and police against police brutality shirts. So, I mean, just for a variety
of
different.
But they were
different...
required to do that outside of the fence, right? They were not
allowed to do that on the... No, they were inside. Not too far from the Coliseum by my favorite foot-long hot dog stand that I go to every year when I go. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they had little stands, if you will, or what?
Yes, they had a little tent area with, you know, a little stand, you know, kiosk there and tent over it where they could sell their wares, to hang it up and display and sell their wares. Yes, they did.
Okay.
There's a couple of them like that, yeah.
I noticed that we did have one black artist musically for the big grandstand, if you will, all the rest of them. And again, this isn't Don and Ron making this up. This is in the newspapers, you know, giving the itinerary of the performers. I see, you know, we had one black. So I guess that's about our average as it pertains to entertainment. What is it? 10, 11 nights of outstanding entertainment. That grandstand stays packed, holds about, what, 35,000? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, Mr. Harris, remember back in the day, like in the early 2000s, I think when they stopped having black acts like Kool and the Gang, the Commodores, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and then they moved into some hip-hop stuff. And they had Bobby Brown, I think, out there, if I'm not mistaken, whatever. And I remember afterwards the chaos that went on. And after that, I don't think they really had any more, you know, hip-hop or anything like that at the State Fair.
Right. That's when they cut it down to just one act for the entire duration, if you will. You're right. I was asking the question last year, and we talked about it on this program a year ago, how many black businesses black businesses had made application for any vacancies that took place. And, you know, we really haven't had a black entity out there since.
Okay, we had some technical difficulty there. Let me call Mr. Edwards back up.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Ronald, hey, Edward.
Is not available.
Okay, Mr. Edwards, call drop, but that's okay. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show. It's 9:28. We're going to get out of here a little bit earlier, and then we're going to play one of my favorite songs.
We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall.